to conclude our discussion together of why I love the Church of Christ. And this is the last lesson in the series that I began so much ago on the subject of the Lord's Church. Before I begin tonight, I want to, since this is second to the last Sunday of the old year, to give you a little bit of a preview about the coming, my plan for 2020, depending on what the Lord's plans are. But his plans are that we be here. I hope that the first Sunday of 2020, I'm going to begin a series concerning a study of last things. Things that the Bible talks about that will happen at the end of time. We're going to look at a number of things, including one of the things that we're going to look at that personally is a real sure of this for me to study and to put together is really the 70 doctrine. And we're going to take a look at that. It's beginning to raise its head again in the body of Christ in other places, in his dividing churches in Texas, in his dividing churches in the state of Indiana. And we've also caused some problems in Arkansas and also beginning to cause problems in the Philippines. And so I'm going to deal with some of that in this series. I also hope that I'm going to do a series on the Holy Spirit early in the new year. Going to look at many different aspects. And really what we're going to do in that particular series, we're going to look at all the difficult parts of that subject. The Holy Spirit baptism, walking by the Spirit, blaspheming the Holy Spirit, what the gift of the Spirit is, what it means to, what is the promise of the gift of the Holy Spirit in Acts 2:38, what is that gift, what does it mean? And we're going to try to tackle the more biblical elements of the Holy Spirit in that particular series. We also, Lord willing, I put together a series on the subject of the cross and Christ. And going to deal with the relationship of Christ and the cross and what it means in our lives. One other thing I want you to think about is that we're going to probably complete the study of the Gospel of John probably in, I would think, the early part of next year. And so we're going to be having a new study in the Sunday morning class. If there's something you would like to study, please let me know. I have some ideas, some things that I have prepared, but if there's something that you would like to study that you have not studied, I'd be more than happy to entertain that. But I'd ask you to let me know that and not kind of spring it on you, because if it's something I haven't prepared, I've got to work on it. But if there's something that you would like to see us study that we have not studied here in the past few years, let me know that and I'll try to do what I can to present something that we can study along those lines. Tonight, I want to finish up where we left off this morning in discussing why I love the Church of Christ. Remember that we left off this morning looking at every seed produces after its own kind. That every spiritual seed produces the same spiritual crop. You can't look at another book, you can't look at another type of creed book, and you can't end up with a Christian. In the Bible, if you were studying it, if you were open it, there is no such thing as a hyphenated Christian. And what I mean by a hyphenated Christian is that there's some other name in front of the name Christian. The Bible makes Christians and only Christians. And one of the reasons that I love the church is that it follows the Bible. It is the only church that I have found in all my study, and I've been, and I've attended many by invitation of other people. You know, one of the things I've often asked, and maybe some of you who are a generation of Christians, whose parents were Christians, and the people will tell you, well, you're just a member of the church of Christ because that's what your parents were, and that's what your dad came for. And so you're just kind of a generation of Christians. Well, that would be true if that's the only reason I'm a member of the church. But that's not the only reason I'm a member of the church. I'm a member of the church because by my study and my examination of the Bible, it is the only one that I find that tries to adhere to the teachings of the Bible, who still try to follow the Bible and his pattern in all that he does. And it is a church that belongs to Jesus. As we talked about in the proposal of this morning's election. He bought it, he designed it, he paid for it, he's ahead of it, and he's the savior of it. He's the only one that I know of, one man, that can be said about. And that's why I submit myself to the Lord's church. Now, in submission, that's something else I want to talk to you about. Christians need to submit to the Bible. The Bible is God's blueprint. It is God's book of authority. Whatever we do in this capacity, the Lord's church, we don't do it by majority rule, we don't do it by what the majority of people want to do, and we don't do it because it's our tradition. We do it because we have a book check and book for doing it. And if we don't have that, then we shouldn't be doing it. And so we must have it by say of the Lord. And that is something that very recognizable when you go into other churches. If the Bible is not there, if it's not used that way, it becomes very evident to you that they don't go by the blueprint. I love the truth because it submits to the Lord. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wife be the one having everything. The church is subject to Christ. Why? Because he's ahead of it. The church is subject to Christ because he is the head of the church. And so he guides the church. He directs the church. He is the authority of the church. And just as an example, one of Catholicism, they teach and they practice and they believe that the church has the authority. They believe the church is the authority. But in the scriptures, Jesus is the authority because Jesus is the head of the church. And just like in the Roman Catholic Church, they believe the Pope is the vicar of Christ. They believe he is God on earth. Therefore, if he is God on earth, he is the authority. And again, the scripture did not bear that up. The scripture did not back that up. And so, one of the reasons I love the church is because it submits to the Lord. It submits to his oversight and his leadership. The church of Christ follows the teachings of Christ. What does Colossians 3:17 say? Most of us would quote it. Whatever you do, in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever we do, whatever we believe, must be credited with upon truth. We must have a bold chapter in verse behind it. In John chapter 10, and we stated this earlier in our gospel, in my study of the book of John, in chapter 10, verse 1-7, it says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. People who belong to the Lord hear his voice, they know him, and they follow him. Question, how do you know the Lord? How do you hear his voice? You have to open your ears. The Lord doesn't talk in your ears. He doesn't listen in your ear while you're sleeping. He doesn't give you some regular messages. If you want to know what God wants you to do, if you want to know what God thinks on any subject, you're going to have to look at the Bible. You're going to have to go to where he speaks. He tells us how to be saved. How is the Lord saved? If somebody comes up to me tomorrow and asks me how the man is saved, I can go to the Bible, I can show them an example of men and women who have read the gospel and were saved, and I can tell them exactly how they did it. I can show that they heard the word of God, that they believed the word of God, they repented of their sin, they confessed their faith in the deity of Jesus, and they submitted to his leadership, and they submitted themselves to baptism, to contact the blood of Christ, and I can give them a book, I can give them a chapter, I can give them a verse, and I can also go with a million examples in the New Testament of people doing exactly that. We also know what about the organization of the church. The organization of the church is very simplistic. It's not very difficult. The head of the church is Christ. The one that he put in charge of all the sins of the church is there. There are overseers, there are presbyters, there are bishops, there are shepherds, and there are elders. All those people are the same office. And under them are deacons. Deacons are servants to the church. And under them is an evangelist, or a preacher, or a minister. And then there are the saints. That's it. That's the whole organization of the church. That's how every church that belongs to the Lord should be organized. You know what? It doesn't make any difference where you go. You can go in this country, you can go in another state, you can go in other countries like I go to Philippines. Wherever you go, wherever there's a church that follows the teachings of Christ, that's the way they're going to be organized, because that is the pattern in the New Testament. The worship of the church. Jesus himself said, God is the Spirit. Those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. In John 4, verse 24, when we talk about worship, verify that. We just got done singing. Why do we sing? Because the Scripture commands us to sing. In Colossians 3:16, Ephesians 5:1-2, and other passages that we can look to. Why do we have Brother Shirley up here crying? Because that's an example, and the prophet's example that we have in the early church in Acts 2, verse 42. Why do we go take the Lord's Supper only on Sunday? Why do we do it every time we come together? Why do we do it on Wednesday? Why don't we do it every night we go out for a meeting? Why do we take up an offering every time we meet? Why do we not take it up on Wednesday? Why do we not take it up during God's meeting? We reflect more money. We have more money in the Lord's treasury. Why don't we do that? Because we're not authorized to do that. The Bible says that you do that on the first day of the week, and the Bible says it's a freewill offering of those who are members of the body of Christ. We did not ask people to come here and give in their money because we want the money. When I was in Las Vegas, there was a fellow there that I used to try to study with, try to get him to agree to a Bible study, and he was very religious. And I said, Bill, why are you in religion? He said, they all want money. All they want is money. Every time I turn on their TV, I know several of the vendors, they want me to send them a check. They want me to send them a check to buy them a jet, to buy them a plane, buy them a new car for their arm, for their life. He said, it's all about money. That's all they want. We don't want any money. The Lord doesn't want your money. Money is something that if we truly are converted to Christ, we understand that money is something that we give to the Lord because he's given it to us. The Bible tells it that I preach. When I'm up in this pulpit, when I'm down there teaching, this is what's in my head. We have never seen in all the years in this lecture or home, if I were another year, it would be 10 years I've been here. In all those years, we have never seen me teach from any other book than this book. And as long as I'm here, this is the only book I'm going to teach from. Because this is the only book that I'm authorized to teach from. Now, I might read something from somebody else here that's written, or I might look at a dictionary, or I might look at a commentary and make a point on a particular passage of Scripture, but that's not my authority. That's just the way of us understanding it more in the words of the Father. The Scripture is the authority. And so when you go to a worship service, whether you're here, whether you're in Hawaii, whether you're in Alaska, whether you're in the Philippines, in China, wherever you are going in the world, that's the worship that a church that is following Jesus should follow. And you know what? That makes it easy, doesn't it? Everybody's doing the same thing. Everybody's submitted to the same pattern, and everybody's following the same pattern. That's the way God designed it. The church follows the teaching of Christ in its word. The work of the church is simplistic. It is not difficult. It's threefold. It's a three-pronged work. Evangelism, that means teaching the law. Evangelizing the law, helps leading those outside of Christ to Christ. The second is edification, that's what I'm doing tonight. That's what we do in our Bible class. We build up. We try to help you grow and mature in Christ. That's called edification. That's building up love and faith. And the third is that is limited benevolence. Notice the word limited. Notice the word limited. We are limited in the benevolence that we do from the Lord's treasury. Now, are there many needs that people have in the world who overlook? But I'll give you an example. This time of year, during the holiday season, you know, you go into places like Kroger, you go into places like Walmart, you got those big barrels where you can bring your toy goods, and you can buy a toy, and you can give it to that Something I have to do to keep she young children, her family before, who don't have the ability to do good on purpose, and you can help people do that. And you know what? You can do that as an individual. You're free to do that and to do that as an individual. But why didn't the church do that? Why didn't we get involved in that? That would help with the community. That would give us a good name in the community. Why don't we do that? We don't do that because we're not authorized to do that. I'm going to get a call next week, I guarantee you, before Wednesday. And you're going to ask me what time on midnight service about this kind of big question to me. But I asked me what time on midnight service is on Tuesday night. We don't have a Tuesday night midnight service. We don't have a Christmas night. And again, I talk about that on Wednesday. We understand that the work of the church is spiritual. It's spiritual. Why? Because that's what I'm looking to do. It's spiritual. Now, anything that the church does, anything that the church spends the most money on, has to fall into one of those three categories. If it falls in any other category, it is a work of men and not a work of the church. Now, I know and you know that the majority of the churches that you know, even in our community here in our city, make the work of the church go much farther than all three things. But the problem is, show me the Bible verse that authorizes. Show me the Bible verse that you can celebrate this holiday called Christmas. Put up a movie scene. Put the tree in the best of you. And I will take you into a number of churches in our community that have all of that. They have Christmas clubs. They have Christmas concerts. I can even take you to one that charges a fee to give you attend a Christmas concert. Where is the authority for that? There is none. Now again, to people who don't know the Bible, we sound strange. We sound like we're hard-hearted, we cheat, we don't care about other people. That's not it. We have individual responsibility, but the church has a limited duty as prescribed by God. We submit to 1 Peter 3:15, the Bible says, that God relates to right to you so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of God, the church of the living God, the core of God, and the truth. There is the core, there is a behavior that God wants and demands of people who belong to his church. There is a way of conducting yourself in his church, and this church is the pillar and ground of the truth. It submits to the authority of Christ. It abides in the teaching of what Christ has revealed, not what he has. I can tell you this. Every division that we have in the area of religion between us and our liberal brethren and between other denominations, every difference we have has one thing in common. It's not in here. Everything we're divided on is what the Bible has not mentioned one thing about. So isn't that amazing? Every division is everything the Bible speaks nothing about. It does not follow the doctrine and commandments of men. Remember in Matthew 15, the Lord rebuked the Pharisees because they taught a doctrine the commandments of men. That's something that God says that we shall not do. We should follow his will and follow his law, and we must submit to the authority of Christ. How does one submit to the authority of Christ? We submit to the teaching of this book. That's how you submit to the authority of Christ. We don't go beyond what this book says. Well, you know, I think. Then you do this. You think. You believe. You assume. What's the problem with all that? All that's what you think. All that's what you assume. But And you say the church doesn't belong to me. It doesn't belong to me. I didn't build it. I didn't die for it. I didn't design it. But even though I'm a member of it, I don't have the authority to change one thing about it. Because it does not belong to me. How difficult is that to grasp? That's not good. Let me give you an illustration. All of us in here, we have a home. And when you live with your children, do they have to go by the rules of other people's homes? Yeah, maybe they didn't go to good people. And maybe they have rules that would give them new rules. Did you give your child a choice of what you can follow their rules and you can follow our rules? Did you do that? I don't think you did that. I didn't do that. No, I wasn't trying to do that. I did that on my way. Well, you know, Tommy's parents wanted to do that. Call me the Tommy. That's what my dad told me. Said, boy, you like Tommy's room, go live with dad, go live with Tommy. You see, our house had its own rules.
So does God's house.
God's house has its own rules. But we better follow those rules if we love God. I love the church because it gave his life for me. You know what? If somebody's wanting to die for something, they need something to. Husband loved his wife because Christ loved the church and gave himself over. If he died for the church, it has some value to him. So husband loved the love of his wife and wife as one body. He loved his wife, loved himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it, just as the Lord does to the church. He nourishes it, he cherishes it. Why? Because he loves it. Because it's precious to him. It means something to him. Therefore, take heed to yourself and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit may be overseer. To shepherd the church of God with the appropriate word of his own blood. Remember, you when we bring now the corruptible things like silver or gold from the realm of conduct received by the traditions of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as with the lamb without blemish and without spot. How does it show respect to God if we violate the rule of his house? How does that show love to God? Somebody's going to have to explain that to me. How we claim to love God, we never can violate every principle and every teaching that we take in this book, and in the same breath say, we love God. It's a practice. It's just an empty statement. That you might sanctify, cleanse with the washing of the water by the word. That he might present himself a glorious church, not having spot, wrinkle, or any such thing, that it should be holy and without blame. The Lord wants his people and his church to be holy. How are we holy? We're holy because we follow his teaching. The church is all that we are in Christ. You know what you and I would do well to read the book of Ephesians. You know, that's a book that you really ought to study. The first three chapters of the book of Ephesians talk about the glory, the beauty, and the grandeur of the church. In chapter 4, 5, and 6, he talks about the practical application of how we live our lives and conduct our lives as members of our church. And in that book, in Ephesians chapter 1, 3, verse 3 through 6, there are some things that we read about that. Number one, it says that we are the chosen. Now what's that mean? The special people. God told us before the world began, man. The chosen means that we've chosen to be in Christ because of the decisions that we made. And we're the beloved. You know why we're beloved? Because we have willingly, and out of our own free will, we have become members of the body of Christ. That makes us beloved in Christ. We are predestined. What does that mean? Well, God determined that you belong to church before you were born. Well, that's not what that means. Predestined means that God determined that when you would follow his tongue, when you would accept his condition, when you would come to him, when you would ask for his grace, when you would ask that he would save you, when you would ask to become part of the family, he showing you how a man and a woman comes to Christ. He predestined us, he predestined to and he adopted us. You know, I had a family. I had three brothers, I have two that are still living, and without all the brothers I'm going to have, those are my brothers, those are part of my family. Those are my natural brothers. Now, we didn't in my family, we didn't adopt anyone, but I have friends that adopted all the children. Now, those children are their children, even though they weren't meant to be born, they were adopted into that family. You know, every one of us that are in the church are adopted. All of us, we're adopted. You know, we're adopted children. God adopted us. Why? Because he loves us. Because we love him. And so, but you know what? We have all the benefits and the privileges of a natural child. Even though we're adopted. We have all the blessings because we belong to the family of God. We're accepted. Why are we accepted? Because we've been obedient. Because of our obedient faith. And we are redeemed. What does it mean to be redeemed? Redeemed means that we bought back. Bought back from what? We bought back from sin. When you and I commit sin, we become a slave to sin. Romans 6:16-18. We either a slave of sin or a slave of righteousness. And when we are redeemed, we're needed to be brought back from the bondage of sin. Hebrews 2:14-15 tells us that the death of Christ freed us from the bondage of sin. It says we've been redeemed. And we have redeemed. You know what an inheritance is. The inheritance is something that somebody leaves you. The only sad part of that is for you to receive that, somebody's going to die. So how do you receive your spiritual inheritance? You better die. You realize that? In order for you to receive the inheritance that God has promised each and every member, you have to die. But you know what? We're all going to die. Hebrews 9:27, but you know what? It's how you die. Now, I'm not talking about an accident, natural age, or cancer, or heart attack. I'm not talking about that. It's when you die in Christ. In order to receive your inheritance, it depends how you die. You have to die in Christ. But when you do, then God has promised you an inheritance. He has not promised that to everyone. He's given everybody the opportunity to have it, but his only promise is to those who are accepted, redeemed, adopted, beloved, chosen. Those are the people that he promised to give an inheritance to. Now, I want you to look at this chart. Now, one of the things I'm trying to do in my teaching, I try to make it simple, but you can't misunderstand it. And I think this does that. Outside of Christ, there is no hope. Why? No spiritual blessings. All spiritual blessings are in Christ. So if you want the spiritual, let me ask you, are salvation a spiritual blessing? I think it is. But he did it. He does it in Christ. Because you are Christ, there's no spiritual blessing. You're not chosen. You're not chosen because you chose not to be. You're not chosen because God doesn't love you. You're not chosen because he won't accept you. You're not chosen because you have not accepted the term. You haven't accepted the condition. And you're not a child of God. Now I have a friend who's battling a very serious problem. And tried to help this person in a number of ways. One of the things she continually tells me is I pray to God all the time. But you know what? It's not doing any good. But it's not doing any good when you're not in the family of God and if you're working against God. You can't do what God says not to do. And then pray and ask God to help you if you're going to continue to do what God tells you not to do. That's a waste of breath. Now, does God heal that prayer? Yes. But he does not answer. Because number one, they're not his child. Number two, they're not listening to his instruction. They're not doing his will. They're not accepting. Why? Because they're not in Christ. They're not in the truth. friendship over the mass of God, Isaiah 59. Sin wages his death, Romans 6:23. All of sin, outside of Christ, there is no redemption. There's a major difference what you've been facing, what is God. Because if you don't do the right thing, you don't get the benefit. You don't get the benefit if you're not in the proper relationship with Jesus. No forgiveness. No relationship. You're not in Christ. You're not one of his children. You're not a brother and sister. You have no assurance. What hope do you have? What assurance do you have outside of Christ? None. That's why people kill themselves. That's why people take their life. They don't see any hope. They don't see any unity. They don't see any unity. Why have we inherited the family in Christ? Let me tell you, I've been lost all my life. The people that are lost is in this church, or is in this faith, or is in that faith, or he does good religiously, or he does God religiously, listen to me. A man or woman will be lost because they're in this condition, because they're not in Christ. If you're not in Christ, this is the condition that you're in. But if you're in this condition, you're off. How can you look at this chart and say that you're in better shape than the person that has all of it? Do you see the difference? I know you can see the difference. This, you know what this is? This is dismal. This is bad. This is where I hope. But you know what? You don't have to stay here. You can come over for the night. But you've got to choose it. You've got to know it. Look for the taking. All these blessings God has given you. But you have to take it. And let me tell you something. Listen to me very carefully. No other religious organization can give you all of this. Listen to me very carefully. There are good people. There are honest people. There are people that are sincere. There are people that are good neighbors. They're good friends. They're good friends. And they're good people. You know them and I know them. But spiritually speaking, here is where they are. This is where they are. But they're there because they believe they could do something different. And yet get out of it. You know my question to them is? Take this and prove it. Take this and prove it that you can be over here and yet receive all of these benefits that we do. If you can take me to the Bible and show me that, I'll repent what I just said. You know what? I'm not willing. Because you're never going to be able to do that. Nobody can do that. In order to receive these benefits, you've got to be in your car, in your church, be among the family to have real, real hope. Now the sad part is, so many people believe this is where they are. But in actuality, they're not here. You're not sad. That's sad. Baptized in Christ with all of the spirit of loving you God. I love the church because it's a holy, because it submits to Christ, because Jesus loves it, and because it will be brought. And when the Lord comes again, I want you to take the Bible, the last passage for tonight. The 1 Corinthians 15. Listen to what the Apostle Paul told the church of Corinth. The 1 Corinthians 15:24, here's what he said. This comes daily. The word of what? The word of time. We will deliver the kingdom of God to the Father. We will put all rule to all rule and authority and power. He's going to give the kingdom back to his Father. When he does that, when he gives the kingdom back to his Father, Where do you want to be? Do you want to be here? Or do you want to be there? Because if you're not here, where do you want to be at? For Mark 27, for whom are faithful, is for all living from this thing, the last enemy that will be destroyed is death. And so, it just depends on what you know. I will seek to build it up. I will strive to serve the many. I will willingly sacrifice for its needs, and I will restore it in its second. And in this series, I have talked about how you do all of that. I have talked in this series how you build it up, how you serve the many, how you sacrifice for it, and how you willingly support each other. And you know why you should do that? So we can be in heaven forever. That's what I'm going to do, that's what I'm going to do. Let me leave you with this little gem that gives a sign to you. In the world today, there are 1.2 billion Roman Catholics. One out of every four people that live in the world are Muslim. That's 25% of the people in all the world is Muslim. 1.2 billion are Roman Catholics. 2.2 billion are part of non-denominational denominations. And you add all that up, so what that adds up to is about 5 billion people. 5 billion. What did Jesus say in Matthew 7? Straight and narrow is the path that leads to life, and few will be the one. But straight and narrow is the path that leads to life, and few will be the one. The broad and wide is the path that leads to what? Destruction. And many don't go out. Do you realize that the majority of people who have been lost on the day of judgment are going to be religious people? Now think about that. You know, you think about it. You know, I was sitting in my office one day, so I was working on something, and I began to think about that. And I began to ask those numbers up. And when I got done, I had to sit down in my chair and think, that's astounding. That just blew my mind. That there could be that many people who are that misguided. But you know what? They don't need to be misguided. Because you know what all those people can do? They can do what I do. They can do what you do. They can open your foot. And they can read it. And they can understand it. And they can compare what they've been told to what this book says. You see, you don't have to be in that other category. You don't have to be there. You're only there if you choose to be there. Or sometimes you're there because people tell you that it doesn't make a difference, or you can remain there, or it's not matter, God will save you anyway. Now you know what? You can believe that. You might even bet your eternity on that. But the sad part is, when you and I serve before the Lord, you know what was the first question that he's going to ask us? Let me take the first thing that the Lord is going to ask you. Now I stand before him in judgment. Do you love him? Oh, no, he loves you. Well, he loves you. You know he loves you. How did you show me you love him? Remember, there's a simple passage of scripture. I want to leave you with tonight. And you're so simple, all you have to do is listen. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? You know, if you sit and stop for a minute and think about this, it's really a sad story, isn't it? It's really sad for me. Because there's a lot of people, I think a lot of them in this world, that are good people. There are more people. There are more than some of my brethren, I'm here to tell you. And there are a lot more faithful and zealous in their that really bothers me. But all of that won't change facts. That won't change this. All those good intentions won't change this. Tonight, there is grace everywhere in the world. There is the grace for people who have already left this world. And you know what? There's not really one of them, wherever they might be tonight, that has an unbelief in them. No. Because when we die, even I die, reality sets in. There are all those hypothetical things you thought, well, maybe that's true. That sounds good. Maybe that's right. You don't have that discussion anymore. Because as soon as you leave this life, if you open your eyes, you're going to know. You know what that future tells you coming? You know what that book said? It was exactly like God said it was. But you know what's sad about that story? If you wait for me, it'll be too late. That's why I love the church. I love the church because it belongs to the Lord, and I belong to Him. And if He loves it, I love it. And we should love it. Please take your samples and turn to the song of Brother Ron and Charlton as a means of meditation, 426. You're doing it, you need to make some changes in your life, you need to obey the doctrine and tell you how to do that tonight. If you're a child of God, you need to make some corrections in your life, you want to pray daily and pray, you need to have, you can do that. You need to do that online, you can do that online because you have the avenue and you have the opportunity to be able to talk to God and tell Him what you need so He will listen. If we're not doing it anyway, then you can come forward and say, we'll see you.